that the Bible and the Lord is your story and your song. I want you to turn your Bible to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to read you a verse of Scripture and bring you a brief message this morning on how the Lord compares us to babies. You see all these little babies up here a while ago? Well, that's where the Lord looks at me and you, His children. It's like little babies. And I begin to, when we first had children, I begin to see myself in them over and over and over again. And I'm sure you did too. And your kids begin to do stuff, and you'd say, well, what makes him do that? And the Lord would speak to you and said, what makes you do the things you do? And really, we're the Lord's little young'uns. And the Bible said here in verse number 2 of 1 Peter chapter 2, as newborn babes. See that word? Now, babe has become a popular word nowadays. And when a boy likes a girl, he says she's his babe. But that ain't right. That's an old English word that means baby. B-A-B-E. Baby. We've added the Y to it, and we call it baby, B-A-B-Y. But actually in the Bible, baby is B-A-B-E, and you can pronounce it either way. So he said, as newborn babes. So the rock singers didn't think that word up. It's in the Bible before they was born. As newborn babes desire what a baby desires, right? Sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So the first thing a baby wants is milk. If you have a baby and it don't want no milk, you better get it checked real soon. It's not normal. I thought about this. I'm not going to preach on this. I'm just going to say a thing or two and then bring you a message on how God compares us to babies. But I was thinking last night and going over some of the notes and stuff about the stages that you go through when you're getting ready to have a baby. There's nothing like it. I'll guarantee you that. 95 million babies a year are born, I think just in this country, in the world. There's more than that born in the world, ain't there? Surely. There's 6% more males than females. God's always let there be more boys born than girls. Don't ask me why. I know why, but I ain't going to tell you. It's because all them boys get killed off in all them wars. See? And there'd be too many of them to go around. It also gives the girls a lot more to choose from. Because girls are better looking than boys. And if you think boys are better looking than girls, there's something wrong with you. And if you're a boy and think that, you stay away from me. You go through different stages. I'll never forget when my wife broke the news to me. You know, she'd been kind of telling you for a week or two, I think I am. Oh, you are not. I think I am. And every man says the same thing. You are not. She says, I think I am. I'm going to the doctor. And said, well, you can go to the doctor, but you probably ain't. And then she goes to the doctor. She might have to go to the doctor two or three times, suspicioning, finally finds out. I remember where I was at when my wife told me when our first one was going to be born. She said, I'm going to have a baby. Whew. My soul. I remember when I think I was in my office. And one of them, when she told me, and they go through stages, and these stages you go through are, number one, shock. When she says, guess what, honey, sit down. I've got something to tell you. It's shock, man. And then you move into the second stage. The second stage is unbelief. It's hard to believe. I'm going to be a daddy. I'm going to be a mama. Am I ready for this? Wait a minute. Let me think it over. And the Lord says, you had plenty of time to think it over. It's too late now. Prepare to be a daddy. Then, after you get over the shock and the unbelief stage, and you finally accept it, there comes what I call the excitement stage. That's when you get all excited. It's really true. It's really true. We're going to have a baby. Now, women are worse than that for men. Men, he's thinking, oh, Lord, Pampers, bottles. How much is this insurance going to run? How much is the... He's looking at it that way. The woman's saying, oh boy, I'm going to Sears and I'm going to Bell's. I'm going to buy me a baby bed. I'm going to get some of the cutest little curtains. I'll never forget, man. We went through that three times now. Curtains, baby beds, quilts, blankets, little things on the wall, butterflies, and pink, and something old, something new, something blue, something pink, something stinks, all that kind of stuff. And you get all that before it's over with, too, believe me. But you go through a stage of excitement. And boy, I remember when we was fixing up the nursery. And buddy, I mean, we was a fix. Our middle baby, Carissa, got my study when she came. I'd moved my study into the extra bedroom. We had three bedrooms. Still got three bedrooms. And my wife said, well, all this stuff's gotta go. I said, gotta go where? She said, it's gotta go out of here. This is gonna be the nursery. I said, what? I had my shelves built in there. Brother Page had built me some nice shelves. And, man, I had my desk there, and I had a place that I could crash or pray, whichever one I decided to do. I had a nice there in that room all fixed up. And, boy, I was there, and I said, it's got to go. Out the door went my books. Out the door went my tapes. Out the door went my desk. It's in the den right now. Still don't have a study. Excitement, boy. The showers come. Your family gives you a shower. The church gives you a shower. And you go through all that excitement, and you know, at first I didn't believe my wife. Oh, you really ain't, are you? You don't look no different to me. I can't tell a bit of difference. Then as time goes on, you begin to tell a difference. And you begin to notice something is going on strange. And buddy, she goes through all kinds of weird things. Wanting ice cream at 2 o'clock in the morning, or pickles at 2:30 in the evening, or weird stuff. Weird things. Getting sick and throwing up in the mornings. I mean, day after day after day after day. Mark told me last night, his wife's going to have a baby here in a few months. He's getting sick. And he's gaining weight. Have you ever noticed that? How many of you, when your wife got pregnant, you start getting sick? Ladies, raise your hand for him. He's too chicken to raise his hand. Okay? That's weird. You know it? My wife like to froze me to death. It'd be in the summertime, and buddy, she'd have on the air conditioner, the cover thrown off the bed, just burning up, and I'd be over there just a shivering. And usually, I like it pretty cool. I like a cool room. I like to leave the air conditioner on, and she'd freeze me to death, man, trying to stay cool. Then, if you really get messed up, you go to Lamaze and all that kind of stuff. And Lord, if that ain't that's the awfulest mess I ever got into in my life. And I went down there to that thing and I felt like a nut, man, sitting there. They had us in the floor rolling around. And I thought, boy, this is embarrassing. And we went through all that stuff. And then you move into that last stage called panic. I mean, when it's time. Now, when our first baby was born, we went at 5 o'clock in the morning, and it was a false alarm. Come back, I went to work. I was helping a fella put down carpet, and we was working over here in the house. I think about 2 o'clock that evening, 1 o'clock, something like that. Here they come over there and said, we're going again. I said, again? We just went this morning? They said, no, this is it. This is it. I said, okay. We went, and about 12 o'clock that night, it was born. I know you shouldn't call them it, but that's the way you think of them when they're born. Think of them as a it. You know, I like all them stories where God jumps in the car and throws his wife in the trunk, you know, and then throws a suitcase in the seat beside him, takes off down the road, flying and running red lights, and the police pulls him over, and he says, let me go. My baby's about ready to have a hospital. Let me go. My wife is on her way to the baby to have an emergency. Let me out of here. Let me go. And you just go, wow, boy. And usually the daddy's in worse shape than the mom. Brother Thomas and Dion, their baby was just born the other day. They had another baby girl. I didn't know if any of y'all know that or not. Went to the hospital and saw him. It's just a few days old now. I named it Hannah Lee. And are they still in the hospital? Is she home? She's not home yet. And just been born a few days ago. And they said the other morning, it come time to go. And Dion told me in the hospital that they took off up the mountain. And it was something like late at night, or in the middle of the night or something, 1 o'clock in the morning. And that was the day it snowed. And it was snowing on them all the way up Old Fort Mountain. And they were rust and all that. And there's just a certain panic that hits you when it comes time to go. Because, brother, you can wait on them a long time, but when they get ready, they're on the way. You say, well, Brother Danny, I'm about to die and about the best, and I can't have mine. I'll tell you what you do. Go right over to camp and back this evening. You'll be ready the time you get back. A baby is a small member of the family who makes love stronger, days shorter, nights longer, bankroll smaller, home happier, past forgotten, and the future worth living for. If God's blessed you with a baby, that's the greatest gift that He could give you outside of salvation. He's giving you and trusting you with a little precious life to live. I thought about them babies and I thought, boy, they're just like us. And as the Lord began to deal with my heart, I jotted down these few things and I'm going to give them to you real quick. And I noticed that babies are a great blessing to their father and mother, to their parents. I thought about all the joy that our babies have brought to us. Me and my wife can tell you this morning that our life has never been the same. And yours never will either. You know, and you meet a lot of these modern day girls that say, I don't want no young'uns. I want to have a big time and do what I want to do. Oh, honey, that's what you need. You want life to be interesting. Boy, make sure you and your husband have you two or three anyway. They're a great blessing to the father. I've thought about the many times I've come home. When I come home at night, you know, my oldest one that I had up here a minute ago, not the oldest, but the oldest baby, that come up here a minute ago, I can get out of my car and I hear something coming through the house like it. And that's her feet. And she can barely reach the doorknob. And she reaches up and opens the doorknob and peeps out and says, "Daddy!" And I say, "Hey, honey. Buddy, I walk in," and she's all smiles. And even little Corey, who's only 11 months old, I can look at her, and boy, she'll start grinning. And that, it's a blessing to the daddy. I thought about that, ladies and gentlemen. Wouldn't it be something if us, me and you, would live our life to be a blessing to God like our babies are to us? Let's don't be one of those rebellious Christians that grows up and breaks our father's heart. Let's be like a little child and run to meet him and come and see him and smile at him and love on him and be a blessing to our father. I believe that we can be a blessing to God. Just like your kids can make you feel good, you can make God feel good. Now, the second thing I want to say is babies are very, very impatient. And we're just like them. Is your baby impatient, ladies? I mean, they want it when they want it. This morning, I brought Corey into the kitchen. And I think he was heating up our bottle in the microwave. You screw the top off, put them in the microwave, heat the milk up to where it's about lukewarm, about to the sickening stage. And you put it in there and get it all heated up. And I put her down the floor. Well, when I put her down the floor, I wasn't going to leave her there. I just said, "Now just stay here on the floor just a second, honey, and we'll get your bottle here." And I went, "Now listen, you know what she done?" She went, and I said, "Just wait a minute." And you know, you take them in there, and they're just like this, grabbing for that thing, grabbing for that thing. And sometimes I put it right up to her mouth, and she goes, and I pull it back, she goes, and I just do that for meanness. But anyway, I take her in there in the living room, and Carrie took her in there, laid her down, plop, and she started just going. Now, when she was sitting in the floor, she thought I wasn't ever going to give her that bottle. Now, if she can understand and say, "Just wait a second, you're going to get it. I ain't going to leave you there all day." But they don't know that. They want it right there. And I see me and you in that, don't you? We pray and we pray and we say, "God, when you going to do this? God, when you going to do this?" And all the Lord has done is just set us down for a minute. He's working on it. He's heating our bottle up. Just cool it, man. Let the Lord's looking down at us and saying, "If you'll just wait a minute, I'm going to do it." You know where we get in trouble? We pray and we ask God to do something. And when God don't do it in 2 days, we start trying to run around, heat up our own bottle, get in the refrigerator, mix our own, you know, put it in the microwave and all. And the Lord wants us to just sit and wait on Him to do it for us. You say, "Brother Danny, I've got needs and burdens in my life." God's going to take care of them. You say, "Brother Danny, I've got a problem. I've got a big sin in my life. I've got this and that." Listen, brother, you don't have to run around out there and try to fix it yourself. God will take care of you if you'll trust Him and give Him time. The Bible says, wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. And we need to learn a lesson from our babies this morning, not to be impatient. You know, Carissa tries to get Corey to grow up too fast. And you know, buddy, if you got two little ones, you really got a three-ring circus. You have to take care of the little one, and then you have to take care of the bigger little one, and then you have to take care of the littlest one from the biggest little one. Or they'll kill them. Yesterday, I heard my wife spank Carissa. And she told me yesterday, she said, "You didn't see what she done, did you?" And I said, "No, what?" And we got our little tent for Christmas, one of them little tents like this, little pup tents. And she loved, that's, can you imagine a girl wanting a tent for Christmas? That's what she wanted. I'm talking about a girl that handles frogs. I'm talking about a girl, she's not very girly. And so she was in her tent and she had Corey in the tent with her. And they got little windows, she zipped down and my wife looked in there and she had Corey up on her head and she had her feet like this. Had the baby on her head like that. And they're always doing something like that. And they don't mean to hurt them. But you know something? That's the way we are as God's people. You take a young Christian, somebody just come in and get saved and everything. People jump all up. Well, now that you're saved, you got to do this. You got to. We try to make them grown up overnight. Hey, man, listen. We're God's little babies. I'll tell you something else. Babies are satisfied just being in the father and mother's presence. You don't have to have a big old nice house for a baby to be happy. You don't have to have a fancy car for a baby to be happy. You know what makes a baby happier than anything? Being with mama and being with daddy. You know, to our littlest, our baby, it don't matter where we're at, long as we're there. It don't matter if we're driving down the road in the car, she just grin. We get out, somebody's out, she just grin. We bring her to her church, she just grin. It don't matter, just long as mom and daddy's there, and especially mama. As long as she's there, as long as they're there. Listen, that's the way we ought to be as God's people. We ought to be so happy with the Lord. We ought to be so excited about being saved and knowing there's a God that anywhere suits us just long as he's there. I've heard them old people used to get up and give testimonies, and they'd say, "I don't know where heaven is, but it'll be heaven if Jesus is there. Don't matter where it is." Now, that's the love we should have for the Lord. Let me say this also. This will be the last thing. A baby gets father's inheritance. A baby gets the father's inheritance. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I thought about this, and I thought, my soul, I was thinking about it yesterday. I was washing my truck, and I was thinking yesterday evening, and I was thinking, one of these days, if I can, I'm going to leave my girl something. I'd like to maybe leave them a piece of land. I'd like to maybe leave them some money in the bank. I'd like to leave them something to get them started in life. Maybe help them out a little bit. And when I die, they'll get what belongs to me. And I thought about that. And I thought, if a man is a good daddy, he'll want to lay up something for his children. And then I began to think about that. And I thought, is God a good father? Amen, he sure is, and he has promised us an inheritance, and you and me as God's little babies are actually going to inherit the kingdom one day and inherit heaven, and me and you are going to walk on gold streets and live in beautiful mansions and walk down streets made out of gold and look at the river of life and eat of the tree of life and have all of that because our Father's a good Father to us. When's the last time it dawned on you that God's going to give you a place in heaven? And that he's got it reserved for you right now. And that there's a big old mansion up there waiting on you. And the Father will be there. And everybody that's saved. Listen, if you're not one of God's children, you're not going to go with us. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you'll not be able to go with us when we go to heaven. Because the Lord is going to give us an inheritance one day for being his kid. This morning, what we've tried to do in this service is take these little babies and say, "Oh, how sweet! And oh, what a blessing!" Listen, how innocent they are. Them little babies don't hate nobody in the world. Them little babies don't hold a grudge against nobody. Them little babies believe everything their daddy tells them. And there's a lot of lessons us grown-up can learn from them. Do you believe everything Father's told us? Right here it is. You holding a grudge against somebody? Do you enjoy pleasing your Father? Some of you people sitting right here, yesterday and last night, you done things that you know good and well God wasn't pleased with. You know it hurt God. You know it breaks His heart. But you got so stubborn and full of rebellion. No telling what you done Friday night. And you hurting your Father. And you need to ask God, have mercy on me. And let me be your little baby once again. Innocent, pure, sweet, enjoying Father's presence. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Now this morning, the service has been a little unusual, and I don't usually do this, but I feel like asking you a question this morning. Are you living like one of God's little young'uns? You say, preacher, we're not supposed to stay a baby in Christ. I know that. We're supposed to grow. But there's a lot of them characteristics of babies we ought to keep. Staying sweet. Staying humble. Staying believing. Staying pure. Staying innocent. And I feel like there's somebody here this morning say, Brother Danny, I'm here today and I'm not right with the Lord. And I need to get right. God's been dealing with my heart. And I need to get right with God before I leave today. Father, do what ought to be done right now. You know the hearts that are here. You see these people, Lord. You know why they're here this morning, Lord. You know why our visitors are here. And I pray that you'd speak to them. And whatever the need is in their life, I pray you'd meet it. Please do it right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, I'll tell you what I want us to do. We're going to sing in just a minute. And if God's spoken to your heart this morning, you say, that's what I need to do. I need to be just like one of them little young'uns and start living for Jesus like I ought to. Let's stand, and on the first verse of this song, why don't you get out of your seat and come?
Just as I am without one plea.
That's the kind of attitude we need to have. As newborn babes. Amen. Would you come? Maybe you're here this morning, your life's all messed up. John, we'll sing another verse. If you need to come, you come on right now. Come on. Come on.
As I am and
amen. If you need to come, come on right now.
My soul of one dark blood to thee whose blood can cleanse.
Let's bow our heads and pray with these that's come this morning. There may be others here today that say, Brother Danny, I need help. I need the Lord. I need God in my life. There be someone here this morning say, Preacher, God spoke to my heart this morning, and I know I'm not living like I should, but I want this church to pray for me. I wonder if you'd just slip up your hand this morning. Just raise your hand, take it right back down. We can pray for you.